D-Mace Finnegan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service, and we are proudly presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Bingen here with you. The Titans do have other draft picks, you know. We will continue to talk about Cam Ward, but the Titans have the number 35 pick in the second round, which starts tonight. And a lot of intriguing players on the board, but I want to focus specifically on the wide receiver position. So if you include Travis Hunter, there were four wide receivers taken off the board in the first round. Hunter, of course, going to Jacksonville at number two. And I saw that incredibly cringeworthy Liam Cohen Duval clip going around the internet last night.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, that was bad.
But thanks to you, Adam, mm-hmm. I knew what he was doing because I was watching with Aaron, and she asked me, what is he doing? I was like, well, let me tell you.
Now you get it. I'm glad that I could help your wife learn something.
Yeah.
Tet McMillan went eighth overall to the Carolina Panthers. Emeka Egbuka went 19th overall to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Matthew Golden went to the Green Bay Packers and received a hero's welcome in Green Bay, where, of course, the draft is being held. So there's one name in particular, Derek Mason, that is standing out like a sore thumb, Luther Burden III. He is wide receiver 3 in Dane Brugler's NFL Draft Guide, also known as the Beast. And a lot of interesting conversations happening around Luther Burden. So in 2023, he had an outstanding season. 86 catches, 1,212 yards, and 9 touchdowns. Last season, his production cratered. He had 61 receptions, 676 yards, and 6 touchdowns. And he only played one fewer game last season than the season before. So it wasn't an injury situation. Mm-hmm. His production just fell off a cliff. And I came across this quote. So Bob McGinn, he's a longtime NFL insider. He does these reports about the draft. He collects anonymous reports from NFL scouts ahead of the draft. And here was a quote that Bob McGinn received from a scout, an anonymous scout, about Luther Burden. Quote, one of the worst practice players you've ever seen, but his talent on the field makes you take notice. There's time when his routes are lacking, but it's more like effort and discipline than talent. To his credit, he's been super productive. Even with quarterback troubles, he was pretty productive. He's a really good slot receiver that can give you some outside, but then with the character, I don't know how you can draft him in the first round. So outside of apparently being, quote unquote, one of the worst practice players you've ever seen, I haven't seen anything else to suggest he has any sort of character issues. Although I did see someone screenshotted an Instagram story from Luther Burden from last night after he was passed over in the first round of the NFL draft. I believe the time was like 12:52 a.m. And he took a picture of all of his gear at the practice facility, I presume at Missouri. So he was apparently back on the field late last night training after he did not get selected in the first round. So from what you've gathered about Luther Burden, if he is available at 35, is this a slam dunk for the Tennessee Titans? Should they run to the podium and take him at number 35?
I think they should. I think he would fit what they want to do. He has the speed to get downfield. He has sort of this, because he can do multiple things, he has sort of this Deebo Samuel. And I say Deebo Samuel now because he's the latest guy that has been able to do it. Deebo Samuel, where he can sort of play a little bit of everywhere, but he has return ability, and they do need that. But he's just one of those guys, when he touches the ball, he's explosive. You see it right off the bat. You see him breaking tackles. He's physical. He's multiple. You can put him in different positions. So he's one of those guys that I think the Titans really need. He can help jumpstart their offense. And if he's there to match him with Cam Ward moving forward, I think you take him. Now, obviously, there's something that is causing, you know, him to fall. Hopefully that whatever it is, it doesn't, impede him from growing as or developing as an NFL player, because this kid has a lot of talent. You see it on the field. And again, he's a guy that fits perfectly into what Brian Callahan wants to do.
Dane Brugler writes about Bird in The Beast, quote, with his run after catch skills, Burden saw a high volume of quick hitters and crossers, which showcased his any direction burst and physicality to give defenders the shake. His route running is best described as a quote unquote work in progress right now, but he appears unfazed when forced to flip his body and track slash adjust to errant throws. Overall, Burden is still working on his undergrad degree in route setup and separation, but he holds a master's in creating with the ball in his hands because of his explosive speed and competitive toughness. For an NFL team targeting a yak, yards after catch weapon, with upside to be more, he will be an appealing option early.
And that's what I think that's what Brian Callahan offense is predicated on, getting the ball in your hands very quickly. And then you get any yards after the catch. You look at Jamar Chase or T. Higgins, more so Jamar Chase than T. Higgins, where he's catching the ball underneath. He's catching the ball on those 12-yard, you know, 10 to 12-yard ends. Can he take the top off? Absolutely he can, but people are so scared of that. They give him those quick, those quick slants and things like that. But when he catches the ball, he gets up the field. And that's what this, I think, that's why I said Luther Burden works well in this offense, because they can give him the ball early, and then he can do what he does best, and that's yards after the catch.
I do want to ask you, Derek, about two other wide receivers who could be available at number 35, both from Iowa State, Jalen Noel and Jaden Higgins. What are your thoughts on those two receivers? Do you prefer one over the other?
Yeah, I would prefer Noel over Higgins. I think Noel, sort of like Luther Burden III, he's a guy that you can do. You can run put him in multiple sets. What I like and what I see from Noel, he has this St. Brown sort of play in him. He can be dominant in a slot. He's quick. He's fast. He tracks the ball very well. He's tough. Those are the things, again, like Luther Burden. He's not as fast as Luther Burden, but he still gives you those things that Luther Burden gives you, and he gives you the toughness. He's not as big as Luther Burden either. I think Luther Burden is probably 6 foot, a little bit over that, somewhere around there. Noel is more of the 5'9"-ish, somewhere around that 5'10", but tough. Tough as nails, and the dude can catch the ball.
Noel is listed at 5'10", 194 pounds. This is what Dane Brugler wrote about Jalen Noel. Quote, a sturdy and speedy athlete, Noel is smooth in and out of his breaks and plays with stick'em hands to consistently secure throws away from his body. Despite not being much of a tackle breaker, he has a pull-away gear, with or without the ball, that makes him a playmaker. 8 catches of 50 yards or more over the past 2 seasons, third most in the FBS. Overall, Noel is a smaller target but very quarterback-friendly because of the confidence he has in his hands and his athletic versatility, which makes him tough to cover. His scouting report and college tape give flashbacks to those of Christian Kirk. When he was an NFL draft prospect, Noel can have a similar pro career.
This is why when you draft receivers and you try to mirror them with your quarterback, this is why it's very important to do that. Because in this offense, like I said, you want to get the ball away very quickly. You know what guys like Luther Burden, Noel, they have the ability to do? They have the ability for the coverage to be shown very quickly because they get in and out of their breaks very quickly, and they force the defense to tell you what it is because they're getting in and out of their breaks so quickly. I remember like a couple of years ago, Vrabel said this, and I harped on it forever. He said, we're just not – basically, we're not fast enough to separate. He was talking about, well, why doesn't the quarterback and the receiver seem to be on page? Well, the receiver's got to get open faster. That's what he said. He didn't say they got to get open because they did get open, but eventually it was too late. They got to get open faster. And what guys like Noel and guys like Burden III does, they make you declare very quickly, and now the quarterback can see it.
Willie Donick, Mahoney Donick, you said, texted you and said, He wants Luther Burden. How about you?
You know my philosophy. I'm not going to change. I would like to see them
trade down.
I believe that there are a lot of picks that could help the Titans. I'm not centered in on one player or one position with the state of their roster, which has been deemed by at least one source the worst in the NFL right now. True?
That according to the analytics model,
right. Joe Rexroad has put that in numerous articles in his analysis of the Titans. The worst roster. I think Mike Borgonzi, as he assessed it when he came in, I don't know if he would say it's the worst, but he has said many times, we got a lot of holes to fill. When he was asked about this last night, he said, we have to be true to the board, best player at positions of needs, and we have a lot of needs. So if we're just talking about wide receiver, I like the profile that you're painting of both of these guys, Derek and Burden, especially. But I would like to see them try to maneuver the leverage that they have with that pick. If they're comfortable moving down 5, 10 slots, whatever it takes to get back into that third round or get an additional later second round pick, even if it was a second rounder next year, that would be my mindset.
Well, let's take this scenario. Let's say
I love Burton. I'm not an evaluator.
The Titans do trade back in the second round and they pick up a later second round pick. Derek, I'm going to name you some receivers who could be available later in the second
round.
Right.
I guess this is the question we're getting.
Right.
Go ahead.
So there's Jaden Higgins out of Iowa State. There's Jalen Royals out of Utah State. Trey Harris out of Ole Miss. Jack Beck out of TCU. Isaiah Bond out of Texas. They all have either second or third round grades. In your analysis, who do you like out of that group?
And so the central question is, what's the difference between that group and the two guys that you think are best at the top of
your
list?
So Burden is wide receiver 3, according to Brugler. Noel is wide receiver 5.
Yes.
Higgins is 6. Royals is 7. Harris is 8. Beck is 9. Bond is 10.
Bond has some issues. He has some troubles. I believe that's the Texas receiver. Yeah. Something's going, legally, I believe something's going on with him. But so I'm not sure.
He was arrested on a sexual assault charge.
Exactly. So I don't know.
Month.
Yeah. I don't know how teams are looking at that or how, in depth they have gotten into the case. So that right there makes a team pause.
Right.
Now, somebody may end up taking him, probably 4th, 5th round.
But with the Legarius Sneed
situation
looming.
I can't
probably
have him.
Have to ignore that.
I can't.
So if we take Bond out of this.
But maybe everybody passes on Bond and one of your 4th round picks could be used on Bond. That's kind of what KC did once upon a time with Tyreek Hill, right? He had a major, major red flag. And when he slid that low, they took him. Now, that's worked for some teams, and it's not worked for some teams. I'm going to go back to the study, Adam, again with the principal, by the Nobel Prize winner, right? What's the guy's name again?
I forgot. Richard Thaler.
Yeah, he's a household name, so much so that I've already forgotten his name. But this was the finding of the study. Across all rounds, the probability that a player starts more games than the next player chosen at his position is just 53%. So by that theory, trading down and taking one of those wide receivers at the bottom of the round, if it gets you more picks, would be the play. And not falling in love with any one of these guys we're talking about. But that's the art, right, of trying to select the right guys for you. Because I'm not discounting that if you really think the guy is the perfect fit, which is what they came to the conclusion of with Cam Ward, right or wrong, then it's hard to resist your human instinct to say, but this is the guy I like the best.
Dane Brugler has 3 wide receivers that he has in the 2nd/3rd round grade. So let's break them down. Jalen Royals out of Utah State, Trey Harris out of Ole Miss, and Jack Beck out of TCU.
Jalen Royal and Beck, because Chris loved Jalen Royal, and we were talking about him last night from Utah. I just don't think that he would offer – he's not going to come in and be a day one starter. He's not. Now, will he be a solid pro? I think he will be, but I don't think he moves the needle, nor do I believe Jack Beck moves the needle. He's another guy that's a bigger – he's a bigger receiver, 6'1", but he doesn't do anything – great or really, really good. He just falls in the mode of he's going to be a good pro. when you look at Harris, that was the last
Trey
one.
Harris.
Trey Harris. He brings no explosiveness. He's a big body, catch the ball well. He doesn't bring any explosiveness whatsoever. Didn't time well, but he's just, to me, he's a possession receiver. They need somebody that can be explosive in this offense beside Calvin Ridley. They need somebody that can be explosive from in between 5 to 10 yards or in between 0 to 10 yards. They need a guy that can be explosive within those yardage, meaning he catches the ball at 5, catches it at 10, explode up the field and get you the yak. I don't think Trey Harris is that guy. I don't think Jack Beck is that guy, nor do I think Jalen Royals could be that guy.
Jalen Royals, according to Dane Brugler, he was a 2-year starter at Utah State. He was an outside wide receiver exclusively to the left of the quarterback. An offensive coordinator, Kyle Cifolo's pass-heavy spread scheme. A late bloomer, he exploded onto the NFL radar on 2023 as the only FBS player with 70 catches or more and 15 touchdown grabs or more. He was having another productive season as a senior before a right foot injury sidelined him for the second half of 2024.
So why would you even touch him if that's the case? Foot injuries. But again, I think that's more so a product of how they run their offense. He's a volume guy. Did he explode? Yes, he did explode on the scene with the numbers. But does that translate, you know, to the NFL? It may. But I just think he's going to be – I think he's going to be a solid pro. I think those other two guys have more of an impact for you a lot earlier.
Jack Beck, a 1-year starter at TCU. He was an outside receiver primarily to the right of the formation. An offensive coordinator, Kendall Briles, up-tempo spread attack. He was a hybrid receiver tight end as a true freshman at LSU. Dwayne Brugler writes, quote, although he isn't super dynamic, Beck is a smooth physical athlete who can get in and out of breaks with gear change and route savvy. He is a skilled ball tracker and plays with supreme confidence in his ability to adjust, frame, and finish grabs. One drop on 91 targets in 2024. Overall, Beck's acceleration is more build up than immediate, and he will need to prove himself versus NFL press coverage, but he is urgent as a route runner with the ball-winning skills and competitive personality that will play. He has experience both inside and outside, and his play style is reminiscent of Puka Nacua.
I mean, if you're going to get Puka Nacua's numbers, then okay. But again,
do you think that based on what you've seen of Jack Beck, do you see Puka Nacua in him at all?
I didn't think anybody, but I sure enough didn't think Puka Nacua. But again, I think he's going to be a solid pro. Do I think he moved the needle for your team? No, especially not right away. I just think guys like Luther Burton and guys like Jalen Noel, those guys have exactly what your offense needs. That quick space, I mean that short space quickness, but then not only that, they have the ability to build up speed very quickly and get yards after the catch. This Luther Burton, man, this dude is tough. And there must be whatever's in his background that has caused him to fall. Man, oh, man, I hope he can work all that stuff out, man, because this kid is he has the ability to be one of those receivers that we talk about, the physicality of him being able to do, you know, multiple things, sort of like St. Brown, guys like that.
I remember, Willie, watching Vanderbilt and Missouri, the double overtime game during the football season. Burden had some big catches in that game. 6 receptions, 76 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
Well, the one that I'll always remember is Vanderbilt got the game to overtime, scored in the first – they had a great comeback to get it to overtime. Scored in the first overtime. You're like, one
play
stop.
Play him one-on-one.
One stop.
First
one
play,
stop.
First
Come
play,
on,
right?
One stop. Yes. One stop. Give me the one stop. First play. Boom.
Touchdown.
I remember that.
I was like, oh.
Man to man. Why are you playing man to man on the best receiver? But yeah, but he brings that home run hitty ability. Him more than Noel. But I just like the way those two play and how they can potentially fit in his offense and how they can grow with Cam Ward.
All right, can we hit on one thing? Maybe set the table for the dynamic here. Because Cleveland did what I thought the Titans should have done, they traded down. Mm-hmm. They have the picks sort of on both sides of
Tennessee.
The Titans, right? They sort of dictate the beginning of this second round. They could draft Shedeur Sanders if that's what they like, or they could call around and say, who wants Shedeur Sanders? You want Shedeur Sanders? We've got the pick. You can get Shedeur Sanders right now.
Cleveland has picks number 33 and 36. So they
right.
take off
and
the second
Titans
round.
And the Titans are at 35.
Correct.
So
the
to
Texans
me, that's
are
the game.
At 34.
That's the game. You do. They've done all the evaluation like D-Mace has done on these guys. And that's just the wide receivers. They've got a boatload of needs. They've got all these picks. That is what the Titans' focus should be, is what are the Browns going to do? I'd be calling the Browns. I'd be trying to figure out who's going to go get Shedeur. How does that affect the board? Who's going to be there when we pick? Because the Browns have the pick right after them, too.
Yes.
That is a huge chess game going on right now.
It's a bit of a Cleveland Browns sandwich, a club yeah. sandwich, because there's two layers. There's the Texans at 34, the Titans at 35, and the Browns sandwiching those two picks at 33 and
Browns 36. Diner, by the way, is a really good place to get burgers and sandwiches.
Good to know.
Yeah.
I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah, you made me think of Brown's Diner there when you talk about a Brown sandwich.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and you should use them because it's time for Ask D-Mace. Call us, text us, 615-737-1025. But before we get there, I have a couple of announcements to make. First, tune into Totally Hits 93.3 tomorrow as the Nashville Cats take on the Southwest Kansas Storm. Pregame starts at 5:30 and kickoff is at 6 with coverage. What are you snickering about?
Kansas the Southwest
Storm. The Southwest Kansas the Storm.
Is Southwest Kansas? That must be in Tornado Alley, right?
Yeah, is that
it's a
worse,
special kind of storm. In
yeah, is that
Southwest
different
Texas.
From a Southeast?
Yeah.
You know, or
northeast. Or
northeast?
That's a directional place.
Don't ask.
It's a directional protein.
Don't ask Southeast Kansans about Southwest Kansas.
Remember, everybody's like, watch out for those directional schools. They're talking about college basketball or something?
Yes. Pregame for the Cats versus the Storm starts at 5:30 tomorrow, and kickoff is at 6 with coverage also available on the Totally Hits 93.3 app and at TotallyHitsNashville.com. Let me also tell you, to join Robbie Stanley and 102.5 The Game from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Coleman Tractor in White House tomorrow for Kubota Orange Days. There will be exclusive deals on compact tractors, zero turns, and more, with special financing available. Sale runs from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. with demos, deals, giveaways, and lunch from 11 to 1. That's at the Coleman Tractor of White House, located at 3631 Highway 31 West, tomorrow.
G-Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Touchdown, Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
Midfield, and there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now is your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now.
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app.
It's time for Ask D-Mace on D-Mace, Vin, Ginn, and Donick. Before we get to your questions, tune in today to 102.5 The Game for Vanderbilt Baseball as the Commodores take on Ole Miss. Pregame begins at 6:15 and first pitch is at 6:30. Coverage is also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com.
Anchored out.
Let's start with Wes in Hermitage on our text line. He says, when I saw the Jags trade up, I thought the Titans were in trouble. Now seeing how all this has played out, I definitely think we're in trouble. I can 100% see the Jags drafting Sanders in round 2 and trading Trevor Lawrence. If that happens, we just might have some issues in the division. Is my worry warranted?
You're saying it's Sanders and Hunter in Jacksonville.
Correct.
The net result of what you're saying.
Yes.
Listen, if it ends up that way, they may be in trouble. They may not. I have no idea. If I'm banking it on Jacksonville, I would say no. They're not in trouble. At least the Titans aren't, because the Jacksonville, for whatever reason, they haven't been able to put it together. It's not like Jacksonville don't have good players or haven't had good players and very good players, might I say. Jacksonville just hadn't put it together, so I'm not truly scared about it. I thought they were going to be able to put it together 3 years ago. Four or five years ago when they drafted Trevor Lawrence, and they still haven't been able to put it together. So adding another piece, even though that piece is a damn good piece in Travis Hunter, they may end up doing Jacksonville things. And they may still end up being just a okay team. So I'm not worried about necessarily what Jacksonville is doing. But, I mean, if you're the Titans, I think you do need to understand your opponents and what they're trying to do, whether it's, you know, Jacksonville drafting Hunter, or more importantly, what the Indianapolis Colts did. I think the Indianapolis Colts got the steal. They may have gotten the steal of the draft by drafting the tight end out of Penn State,
Tyler Warren.
Yeah, Tyler Warren. That, I think that kid, he may end up being like one of the best tight ends, period. This kid is good. He's versatile. He can do everything. Block, catch, throw the football, run the football from the backfield, and he's a big guy with speed. So look at what Indianapolis is doing. Look at what Jacksonville has done. It may work, may not. Houston, what they're doing. You got to look at that. And then, you know, where do you fit? How do you assess your team based upon what you're looking at in your own division?
Bob in Mount Juliet says, D-Mace, when y'all do the draft show and Sunday show, does Stilly really love the Titans as much as he says he's always on their asses? That's Bob in Mount Juliet.
No, he does love. He is a Titans fan.
You would not be able to get the Jared Stillman that you hear on the radio every weekday if he did not love the Titans. He'll tell you the story about how he went to the Super Bowl.
and he cried.
And he cried.
Yes. Little Jared.
Little Jared Stillman. I was really hoping that he would name his son Little Jared. L-I-L apostrophe J-A-R-E-D. Like Lil Jordan Humphrey, the football player.
Or Lil Wayne, who was at the draft last night on the podium.
For some reason. It's like, exactly. Why was it? And here's Lil Wayne. Let's introduce all of your favorite Green Bay Packers. Here's Clay Matthews. And there's Lil Wayne.
It's like, what?
You think Lil Wayne's ever been to Green Bay, Wisconsin before this?
He's an avid fan. Yeah, he's a big fan. Yeah. Doesn't he own a... No,
supposedly.
Well, he owns a percentage of some other team, I believe. A small percentage, but you can't do that. He may.
He might. Like, yeah, the Packers are publicly owned. He probably has a few shares.
Yeah, yeah. That he owns. So
he can walk around and tell everybody he's an owner. Like a Bob lot of other Cole, people. Of our staff. It's the Predators. He has that. He's a lifelong Packer fan. He's an owner. Around saying he's an owner.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm owner of a team. What team? Green Bay. Along with a whole bunch of other people. But I'm owner. But, what were we talking about again?
Does Jared love the Titans? Yes, he does.
He's a Titan fan through and through. But he also is a sports talk show host, and he's good at his job. And, you know, it's this dichotomy of being a fan but hating their moves. And right. It sounds like he hates the Titans, but he doesn't hate the Titans. He loves the Titans, but he doesn't trust the moves that they make. Would you explain that? How would you explain?
I think that's fair. And he's not unique. I will give you my mentor, a guy that brought me into this line of work, was George Plaster. Mm-hmm. He used to get questioned all the time about Vanderbilt that way, right? And it was unique because for a time he was Vanderbilt's announcer, but on the talk show was very similar. Vanderbilt was going through a hard time, right? They were losing games, and people were like, wait, do you really love school? And he would always be like, yes, I love the school. I went to the school. I'm an alumni. I grew up in Nashville, and yes, I love the school, but at the same time, when you're an opinionated person and you're on a sports talk radio show where it's about giving opinions, it was about giving strong, honest opinions, even if it came across like, oh, he doesn't love Vanderbilt. Mm-hmm. He hates Vanderbilt. He's so negative. He's negative.
But he loves him.
I mean, Jared is 2.0, right? It's the same thing.
Yes. There is an authentic-
He doesn't love the Titans.
There's an authenticity to Jared that
he's negative.
Cannot be manufactured. So no. to answer your question, Bob, he indeed does love the Titans. Andrew from Dover says, D-Mace, you win tickets to every NBA Finals game this year. Which teams do you want to see face each other in the finals?
Ooh. Willie will get me with this. I want to see the Celtics and the Lakers once again.
Ooh.
Oh, man. The NBA would love that.
Yes.
Or the Lakers and the Knicks.
A classic.
They would love that.
The Knicks in Madison Square Garden, who haven't been to the finals forever.
Exactly.
Since they lost to the Spurs.
Yeah, they lost to the Spurs. And before that, it was a long run before. Mm-hmm. You had to go back to the 70s, right?
What was it Willis Reed?
The Willis Reed teams, yeah. I don't think they went to the finals at any point between then and now other than the Allen Houston team.
It's been 25-plus years
Sprewell,
at this point.
Yeah.
It's been 25-plus years at this point.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, so I would say just for the nostalgia and they would make it such a big thing. I mean, you wouldn't be able to handle it, people. It'd be so much press on that game. But the Lakers versus the Boston Celtics, I would love to see that again. But realistically, it's not going to happen. It may not. I love what the Lakers have done with you know, getting Doncic and pairing him with LeBron. But they're still just good enough from top to bottom to get themselves, you know, in the NBA Finals. So if I have my perfect – that was my perfect matchup, but I think it will be Boston and OKC.
Before we go to break, Joel says on our text line, Teron was wearing a Mets lapel pin for the draft.
He outdid you, Willie.
Teron.
He outdid you.
Was wearing a Mets
lapel pin. Of course. Do you have one?
I do not.
You need to get you one, man.
Step it up, Willie.
Exactly.
I have a lot of Mets things in my fashion portfolio, but not a lapel.
Got a bunch of Mets trinkets.
I got a few trinkets, yeah.
We need to get Willie a Mets charm.
I have a Jesse Orosco bobblehead.
Doesn't hit the same. 615-737-1025. Continue to get your questions in for Derek at 615-737-1025. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is Fog Street Lawn Club, Nashville's premier soccer pub and rooftop. Fog Street Lawn Club offers scrumptious bites, British lawn bowling, and premier soccer pub vibes. Get half off a $30 gift card now at thegamenashville.com/deals and dive into the ultimate rooftop experience.
Cam, how you doing, man?
This is
Mike Begonz with Tennessee Titans.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. You guys doing well there?
Hell yeah, we good.
Yeah, you good? Hey, listen, yes, you know, as we went through this whole process here, I can't tell you how impressed we've been with you, not only the player, but the person that you are, you know, the leader that you are. And we couldn't think of anyone more deserving to be this number one pick here and to represent this franchise. So we're going to turn this pick in here and make it the number one pick. How's that sound?
Good.
Sound good? Listen, congratulations. Enjoy the moment. You deserve it. Enjoy this moment with your whole family. Soak it in. I can't wait to see you guys here tomorrow, you and your entire family. And we'll get ready to work here, right?
That was Mike Borgonzi calling Cam Ward to inform him that he was going to be the number one overall pick.
It was so quiet. That phone call was quiet.
It sounded like he was overcome with emotion there.
Yeah. But I'm saying the background, he must have been somewhere.
A quiet room.
Yeah, a quiet room, or he just, you know, he didn't have a huge sort of party.
I've liked about Cam Ward through this process is that he's so understated, right? Mm-hmm. He seems to speak calmly and carry himself with that quiet confidence that bursts out on the football field, it seems. Even what he was wearing last night was just, an understated suit. Nothing flashy about it. There's nothing wrong with wearing a flashy suit, but there was nothing flashy about Cam Ward's suit. And then you juxtapose that to a year ago, where Will Levis was sitting in the green room with his cute mom and his hot sister and his hot girlfriend and watching his stock just plummet as he failed to get out of the first round. And
2 years ago, this was.
Was that 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Why was that? Why did I think that was last year?
He was not a rookie last year.
No, he wish
true.
He was.
I apologize. 2 years ago. 2 years ago.
Don Juan, I believe, was the,
yes.
Yes.
Was the characterization by Rich Gannon.
It was.
The visual there.
I went back and looked at the picture. It was just Will Levis with a bevy of blondes on the couch. But you weren't hearing these uplifting stories about Will Levis. You were listening to him talk about putting mayonnaise in his coffee. And didn't he eat bananas with the peel on or something?
Yeah, something crazy like that.
Right, but all of that would have been a positive story. It would have been, hey, what an interesting guy, you know, if he were good, right? All of that gets used one way or the other. And don't get me wrong, I like what Cam Ward appears to be about, everything I've read about him. I observe the same thing you do, Adam, and I think that's a positive. but it's going to come down to whether he can play.
Willie, you had a question for Ask D-Mace during the break. We were watching the Pat McAfee show. Roger Goodell was on the set, and they're clearly in a covered set. It's cold enough in Green Bay that they got Pat McAfee to actually wear something with sleeves. Anytime I see Pat McAfee wearing something other than a tank top, I mean, I think he's wearing a tank top underneath this weird jacket he's wearing.
Right. He wears what he always wears to the show, underneath the coat.
Right. But there's a huge, well, I wouldn't say huge. There's a decent-sized crowd of
Would
people
you even call
behind
it decent?
Him.
I don't know. They're overlooking the stage.
A smattering, perhaps?
A smattering,
A
yes.
smattering of fans. One's holding an A.J. Hawk jersey. They're all wearing ponchos. And you were wondering, like, would you subject yourself to this?
Right. So
are you having fun doing this?
So let's broaden the question.
Yes.
Because it's an interesting group of people. That Mayor, like, we can't hear what Pat McAfee or
and
Roger
And you did
Goodell
make one
say.
Observation. We see zero women.
I think
there.
There's the ratio of guys to girls. There's a term for that. We're not going to use it
I'll
on the air.
One.
Please don't.
Is it some sort of party?
It's a fest.
Okay.
And when there's more guys than God, this is an extreme ratio.
Could there be some brats there, perhaps? Some kielbasa there,
yes,
perhaps?
There's a good chance.
They're in Green Bay.
Some sausage perhaps.
It wouldn't be a party in Green Bay without that, right?
Brats and beers.
I counted maybe three.
Grow up, Derek.
Maybe three females on the set there.
It's raining. It's cloudy.
Oh, my goodness. I'm just sitting back. Just listening. Just listening, people.
It's Ask D-Mace, though. Would you go to a draft? Would you ever go to a draft? Like,
as a fan.
I thought about this when Nashville had the draft.
Oh, yes.
Now, Green Bay, you've got this, it's a tailgate area. It's not downtown Nashville where you could go to downtown Nashville. You could stumble upon any number of things.
It's up north. It's cold, man.
There's nothing there.
It's rainy. No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't subject myself to those climates if I didn't have to. That weather, if I didn't have to. You know,
it's currently 45 degrees
and rainy
in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
I'm no way, no how am I going near that stadium. I'm in the house watching it all. That's me now at 52 years right. old, you know. 51. If I'm 21, 25, got a couple, you know, beers in me.
Yeah.
You may go down there and just have some fun, you know. Stand back there and hope, you know. Text people like, you see me? You see me? Here I am, raising your phone or talking on the telephone. So, yeah. I mean, I would have did it then. But now, no.
It is amazing how many people, when it's a draft, and this goes with any sport, like going to a draft is just not something I would have thought about doing when I was a kid or anything like that. But now it's a thing.
By the way, according to The Athletic, the NFL's smallest city drew a crowd nearly double its population for the first day of the 2025 NFL draft. As confirmed by the NFL, 205,000 fans attended round one of the draft Thursday in Green Bay. As of 2023, the U.S. Census Bureau reported Green Bay's population as 105,744.
So what you're saying is these people at the Pat McAfee show, they have nowhere to stay. They have to be outside somewhere because everything's full.
Yeah, I guess
so. So they're standing in the rain.
That sounds about right.
Can you stand
I like their starter jackets, though, that random cast and crew is wearing.
No, I mean, if Nashville has another draft, which I'm sure they probably will, but no, not in the near future, depending on how old I am, I may, you know, mosey on down here and you know, watch the draft.
The Nashville draft was fun. There's no question about it. That was fun. Even though it poured the first night, if you guys remember, if you were standing on Broadway – the first round, you got soaked.
As I've gotten older.
And I was one of those people.
As
I've
gotten older.
I was sitting in the crowd.
I've started enjoying crowds less and less.
Yeah, I'm with you.
In my teenage years, every summer, man, I went to Warped Tour, Vans Warped Tour. I was in those mosh pits. Love that. As I've gotten older, if someone has to stand shoulder to shoulder with me, I'm out. Like, I don't like being surrounded by people now.
The feeling of the post rain, even if the rain has stopped and your clothes are still wet.
Yes. Awful.
Like when you're young, you can kind of just go with it. Who cares? We're at the draft. When you're a little older, it's like, oh man, I got to get out of here.
Yeah.
That's a bad feeling.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be.
And nobody likes wearing a poncho. Nobody looks good in a poncho.
No.
It's practical, but
that's
not
why
fashionable.
You just get you a raincoat, man, instead of a poncho. I understand ponchos are easy. You know, throw it on, walk around. But again, what if I want to quickly, you know, go in my pocket and get, I got to deal with all this stuff, hitting the, you know, throwing the, a rain back in my face when I got to lift up my poncho. No, I don't want to go through that stuff. Just give me a rain jacket and some rain boots. I'm good. I haven't worn rain boots in so long.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever done. Maybe.
In, I don't think. Yeah, I've had.
I don't know if I've ever owned
younger,
rain boots.
But not as an adult. I mean, I had shoes, boots that you can wear in the rain because they were water resistant.
It feels like
but
a
I haven't
kid.
Had no
it feels like
actual
a kid
rain
thing.
Shoes.
My son has multiple pairs of rain boots.
And they're
he's
cool
got,
for him.
He's got the trucks on one. Uh-huh. He's got the dinosaurs on the other. I feel like rain boots are a children's thing. Like they have water. You know, water resistant or
no,
waterproof
females.
Shoes.
I think it's women too. They love because it to them is a fashion thing. You know, with certain rain boots,
like UGG boots.
But they're not rain boots.
Did you
but
wear,
like UGG boots?
Did
yes.
you wear UGG boots?
No, I didn't wear UGG boots.
That shocks me for some reason.
No,
it also shocked me when I learned that you never wore Zubaz pants.
No, I can't do the rain. See, UGGs. I can just wear the house shoes.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not. I wasn't never into the UGG boots. And I was like, nah.
Then Tom
man.
Brady started wearing them.
Like,
remember?
That's too. Just, my feet don't need to feel like that when I'm walking, you know, outside, you know.
I hear they're pretty comfortable.
And well, no, I want it's just something about it, man.
615-737-1025. We'll get back into Cam Ward. But coming up next, there is something that I think all Titans fans can agree on about last night's draft. 615-737-1025. We'll talk about that next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, The Game.